There's a lot to learn about this new virus. Even the name is new to a lot of us, coronavirus. So what should we be calling this thing? Here's the world's Alana Gordon with an explainer.
In China, the virus is commonly known for the city where the outbreak was first reported.
People refer to the virus as Wuhan Fei Yan, which is Wuhan pneumonia.
That's Jiang Yinfeng from the BBC's Chinese service. The term Wu flu has also taken off on social media. The scientific community has a different name for the virus, a more technical one. Stanley Perlman is a researcher at the University of Iowa who's studying the virus.
So I just actually wrote an editorial for a journal, and I called it 2019-nCoV because that's what the manuscript that I was looking at called it.
He says this scientific abbreviation stands for 2019 Novel Coronavirus. Coronavirus is a term we've been hearing a lot. It doesn't come from the beer. The name reflects what the virus looks like under a microscope.
You can see a corona that's either the corona of the sun or the corona of a crown.
There's other coronaviruses like SARS and MERS. So what to formally call this one? Perlman says this might seem simple, but it's not. Reaching an agreement on a name for a new infectious disease in humans can be tricky and even contentious.
And it's really been interesting to me, the balancing all these things of how to get a name right so it's accurate and it tells you how it's related to other viruses and make sure that doesn't put any negative connotations on people.
Scientists and health officials are wrestling with this now. Perlman says he and other coronavirus experts went back and forth all day last Thursday over what to recommend calling this new virus. There's no formal process to naming a virus, a bacteria, or a disease, but it has evolved over time. Dr. Howard Markell is a historian at the University of Michigan. He says, traditionally, it's been the scientists who first discover a new pathogen who get first dibs on naming it.
That was the big thing in the 19th century, to have things, diseases, and so on named after you. That was a sign of success in medicine.
Take the bacteria for plague. It's called
Yersinia pestis.
That comes from the guy who discovered it in 1894.
Alexandre Yersin.
Moving along, the Ebola virus was named after the Ebola River near the African village where it was first discovered in 1976. But naming an infectious virus after a person or place can be problematic. Here's Stanley Perlman again.
The people who live there are unfairly being associated with a virus, and they don't want to be, and it's really not their fault.
That is why the World Health Organization now warns against naming diseases after a specific person, place, or thing. The WHO issued guidelines in 2015 on this to minimize the negative impact on trade, travel, places, and people. One cautionary tale happened 10 years ago. The H1N1 virus was known around the world as swine flu. Again, Markell, our medical historian.
Which was a misnomer back in 2009. It really wasn't caused by pigs or anything like that, but everyone called it that.
Still, the pork industry took a hit, reporting a drop in sales. Another cautionary example is the early days of HIV and AIDS. Early on, the virus was called gay-related immune deficiency, or GRID, or sometimes gay cancer.
So that would have been a bad name. And, you know, there's enough problems with people being scapegoated for contagious diseases. People who are disenfranchised or are so-called undesirable groups. There's a long, long history of those people being blamed for the importation of that disease.
The WHO has taken extra steps. It outlined a list of do's and don'ts when it comes to naming a disease. Do, make it short and easy to pronounce, like malaria or polio. Also include accurate and descriptive terms like respiratory or neurologic or juvenile. Perlman says in the end, a virus or a disease may actually have a couple agreed-on names. One that's more technical, that the scientific community uses, and another one that's common with the public.
Clearly the goal is to have something that's probably in reality most useful for the scientific community, but then also can be referred to in a way that's useful for the general public. So, you know, influenza has these long names, but people call it the flu, and we all understand that.
The WHO may decide to take a more active role in naming new contagious diseases, especially if popular names are, quote, inappropriate. Markell and others say that might be a good idea now, given how much the term Wuhan pneumonia is spreading around the internet. For The World, I'm Alana Gordon.